Thank you for tuning in to Richardson Cove Baptist Church Podcast. We join our weekly broadcast of our Sunday morning worship service.
Stand with me if you will. We're in James chapter number 3. Message number 10 on James, and we're finishing up chapter number 3. There's a lot of stuff in here, and we're excited to be here. Verse number 13, beginning in James chapter 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Father, we're thankful for your word. So much contained in just a few scriptures. We pray, God, that you will just guide our thoughts and our conversation, that you will, your Holy Spirit would speak to us today where we're at. Forgive us, forgive me, God, of my unrighteousness. Lead us where we need to be in your word. Show us what we need to learn and what we need to gain from this passage of scripture. And as we think about wisdom and we talk about wisdom this morning, God, we know we need it desperately. We're not wise, even though we think we are at times, but we're not wise. We need your wisdom, God. We need to understand this world as you understand it. We need to see each other, God, as you see us. We need to have a vision, God, that comes from you. We need to see things the way you see them and act and respond the way you do, Jesus. Give us your heart. Give us your eyes, your ears. Give us your mouth. Give us your feet that we can walk to the places you'd have us to go. Give us a mind of Christ that we can think and reason the way you would have for us to, for your glory. God, we pray your blessings on the remainder of this service in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of things contained in this little passage of Scripture. So I've got several Scriptures I want to share with you. I want us to look at them. I want us to think about it. But the overall theme of the message today is wisdom. It's all about wisdom. How important is wisdom? Wisdom's everything, you know. And as we're going to look and see, we're going to see God's importance of what wisdom means to us. I wanted to look up the word wisdom. I know it has varied meanings depending on its usage and where it's in the Old Testament and New Testament. I know there are different thoughts that come into mind when we think of wisdom. But basically and fundamentally, here's what wisdom means. It means to be skillful, to be prudent, to be wise, and to be shrewd. These are some words that describe basically what wisdom is all throughout Scripture. So that's where we're at. I'm going to turn, and we can't help but not turn here. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter number 1. If you will, turn there with me. We're going to look at a few verses of Scripture. If you've ever been in question about wisdom and you want to know a little bit more about it, read the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs basically talks about wisdom and the importance of it. So Proverbs, beginning in chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. In verse 7, the fear of the Lord, or rather the respect that we have for the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Flip over one page to chapter 3 of Proverbs, beginning in verse number 13. Happy is the man, or rather blessed, happy can be kind of loose here. You know, happy can be kind of loose. When we think about blessed, happy in this instance, it means to be truly blessed, to be blessed of God. Blessed is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding or is issued or is furnished understanding. When we're given something, when we are furnished with something, provided with something, that's this blessing from God and it being understanding and wisdom. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, or the profit he's talking about. What we're going to gain from wisdom is greater than any amount of money you can gain by selling something. Have you ever sold something and made a lot of money on it? Maybe you had a yard sale and you thought, man, I'm not going to make $20. And you come, boy, you hit it big. You might make over $100. Woo, we've hit it big, you know. We've gained. It doesn't matter anything that you think you can sell and make money on. Gaining and profiting from wisdom is greater than any other kind of gain we can get from any sale of merchandise, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15, she is more. Now notice that he's transitioned to calling wisdom a she, of feminine nature. So we're from the rest of Proverbs, a lot of times he relates wisdom to a she, he gives wisdom a personality. And I think that's important for us to give wisdom a personality, to understand that it is to bring life, in a way, to wisdom. If we just throw the word wisdom around and use it as just a word, we'll not understand the depth and the importance of it. But when we give it a character and call it she, then we all of a sudden identify with a personality. So, and I think that's beautiful, because I think that wisdom is truly a personality and a trait that we take on that can be issued to us. So verse number 15, she is more precious, or basically more clear, transparent, than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Notice that he said all, not just most things, but he said all things. It doesn't matter what you have that you consider valuable in your life. You bring it up here and you set it next to wisdom. There's nothing more precious or nothing more valuable or beneficial to us than wisdom. She is of great importance to us. Verse 17, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Peace, rest, tranquility. The thing about wisdom is, as we think about wisdom and we follow godly wisdom, how peaceful our hearts are going to be. Even in the midst of chaos and trouble and trials, having wisdom, having her characteristics in our life, we're going to be blessed and we're going to be at peace. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. Wisdom's how God made everything that he made. Wisdom is how God put everything together. Wisdom is how God coordinated all those efforts of creating life as we know it. Everything that we know, we see, we experience, God made possible by his great wisdom. Verse 20, by his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. So we're even able to receive rain because of the wisdom and knowledge of God. So wisdom is important. Proverbs 9:10 also says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Wisdom is vital. Wisdom is important. Do you consider yourself wise? I think anybody, if asked that question, is going to say, sure, I consider myself wise. I want to consider myself wise. And I think the older we get, we say that with age comes what? Wisdom. We say that with age comes wisdom. Why do we say that? I think we say that because a lot of the experiences that we've had, we've learned from our mistakes, and we've become wise to hopefully not make those mistakes again. Whether we still continue to do those same things and make those same mistakes, at least we know better. And so that's why we say with age comes wisdom. So wisdom is a great thing. Wisdom is well, we've already read in Proverbs and here just in James chapter 3 that wisdom is huge in the life of a Christian. Now, what we need to understand is there are two types of wisdom. There's two different types of wisdom that we need to dissect, and I think that's exactly what James is breaking down right here. Remember the people that James is writing to. Remember he's writing to young Christians. Remember that he's trying to educate people who have lived lives and been confused. He's writing to those believers in Christ but don't really have those fundamentals down yet. They're still learning and they're still growing. They're adapting to this way of life. There's a lot of folks who are Jews who have been conditioned by the customs and laws and statutes that men have handed down in addition to the law of God, and put their own commands and burdens on the people. Then you got these Gentiles who are coming in here that have not been really bound to anything. You've got all of them from all sorts coming in here. And James is trying to educate these people and get them to understand one of the greatest things you can seek after is wisdom. But he wants you to understand there are two different types of wisdom. The first wisdom that he describes is man's wisdom or earthly wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God," and listen to this, "hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So God's already describing there are two completely different types of wisdom. There is, obviously, we're going to talk about a godly wisdom, but there's an earthly wisdom. Is earthly wisdom bad? Well, I'm going to say yeah. Because we're going to look at it in verse number 15 of James chapter 3. Here's what it says about this earthly or man or carnal wisdom. The wisdom, this wisdom, descendeth not from above, but is earthly. It's earthly, so that means that it exists here on earth. This wisdom does not exist in heaven. It exists here. So it's relative to earth, not just in a physical location, but I think it also means earthly as in carnal, as in selfish wisdom, man's wisdom. So it's earthly, it's sensual. That's a word, isn't it? We have thoughts of what sensual may be. And basically it means to be subject to an appetite or to be subject to a passion. So when we think about man's wisdom, an earthly wisdom, carnal wisdom, it's a wisdom that we understand and we have a desire to do something, or we feel wise in ourselves to do something because of the appetite of passion we have regarding whatever it is that we're wanting to do. So we will be driven at times to do certain things by a passion, and we just say, well, I'm using my wisdom to make this decision, when we're literally driven by a passion of our own. And he also says that it's devilish. Wow, to call something devilish is apparently not calling it good. So he's saying that it's devilish, it's of an evil spirit, or it comes from a known evil. It doesn't come from a good place, it comes from a bad place. So if we're to distinguish between the two, man's wisdom and God's wisdom, man's wisdom or earthly wisdom is a bad thing. I think it does have its points, though. I'm not trying to defend, because God has literally just bashed man's wisdom in verse number 15. But I want to bring this to light in understanding wisdom. There's nothing wrong with us gaining knowledge and understanding and wisdom about how things work and how things operate. When you are the brand new person, first day on the job, what is it important for you to learn when you're on your first day at your brand new job? Everything you can. Amen? I mean, it's true, isn't it? Is there anything wrong with that? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's good for us to learn and have a understanding and have a wisdom about how things work in the place. When you get to school, what are you trying to do when you go to school? We're trying to gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding to benefit us as we get older and we get thrust out into the world. And so, but when we think about knowledge and we think about wisdom, knowledge is basically knowing that laws exist and identifying with the laws. It's kind of like if you've got a speed limit sign out here that says 55. Knowledge is an understanding that there's a speed limit sign that says 55, so I need to keep it at 62, right? I need to keep it at 55. Well, Doug's not even in here to catch that. Where's he at? Tim's here. Right, we got it. Dex, I love you, brother. Easy on Preacher Dave. Okay, knowledge is understanding there are laws, just knowing that the laws are there and knowing they exist. You know the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Wisdom is understanding that there's a reason why we set that at 55. So there's a difference between just knowing something because it's written or it's been drilled into your head or you've been told it so many times. There is a wisdom to help you understand the depth of what it means. That's a problem when people, when Jesus showed up, do you know who rejected Jesus? Were the knowledgeable people. They were knowledgeable of the law. They knew the law. I mean, Paul was right in that same group that rejected all the those beliefs. He held the coats of men while they stoned Stephen. So we have these people that have a knowledge of these things that are documented and truth statements and laws and decrees and all that kind of stuff. So they have these laws. They know the law. But wisdom is when we understand why the law is needed. We understand the depth and the benefit of why it's here. Do you know those people that responded to Jesus that got saved? You know who those were? Those were the wise people. Because they weren't fixated on just the law and the commandments, but they were taken away by the message that Jesus preached in that he came to fulfill the law and show us a way to be saved. Man, if we want to be knowledgeable, we're going to sit around, we're going to look at those laws, we're going to say there's absolutely no way I can keep those, but I'm going to work hard every day to do everything I can to keep the laws of God so I can hopefully balance out and find my way into heaven. But somebody with wisdom is going to say, I can't do it. The law is here to show me I can't keep it. It's a schoolmaster, it's an educator to show me I can't get to heaven by being good enough. I can't join with the right church. I can't be a part of the right family. I can't make it. Wisdom lets us understand that Jesus is the only way unto salvation. Amen. The knowledge that keeps people out of heaven is earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. It's man's wisdom. It's carnal wisdom. Those of us that are saved in here, you probably said it numerous times, and I have as well. How can somebody be convicted of their sins and not get saved? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever said that? I've had numerous conversations about that. How can somebody be convicted of their sins and reject Jesus Christ? I was terrified when I was 7, the first time he ever convicted me. I ran to figure out about salvation. I wanted to be saved. It terrified me to not have confidence that I was going to heaven one day. And I wanted to get that settled. I wanted to know more about wisdom, the godly wisdom. And I think all these people that reject Jesus, how can someone hear the gospel and understand there is no way you're going to heaven outside of the blood of Jesus Christ? How does that? Well, I know how it happens now, because they're embracing worldly, earthly wisdom. They're embracing what they think to be true, even though it contradicts and opposes the only way unto salvation. Earthly wisdom is a bad thing, because earthly wisdom is so close to the truth, but yet it's not the truth. Earthly wisdom is a serpent in a tree speaking to Adam and Eve and saying, "Ah, surely God didn't mean that." That's earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom will use just enough truth to get our attention and then hook us with a false lie and pull us in. And the next thing you know, we're following something we believe to be true because we have embraced man's wisdom. How do we think the Tower of Babel was built? What was it built on? It was built on the premise that they wanted to make of themselves a great name, a great nation. They wanted to be somebody. Now, if I ask you this, do you want to be somebody? Well, yeah, we want to be somebody. Do you want to accomplish something? Do you want to, they don't have to build statues of you, but do you want to be known for making a difference and doing something? Well, see, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm sure even the concept started, could have started on a positive note. But all the people got involved in this process of, we're going to build this massive city, we're going to build this massive tower, and it's going to reach right up into heaven itself. And it could have started with a good thought and a good idea. The problem is, it was man's wisdom that started that and initiated, and it wasn't God's wisdom. When we embrace man's wisdom, we will always fail and we will always be in opposition of God. King Saul, when he was battling the Amalekites, God told him, he said, I want you to go and destroy all the Amalekites, right? You remember that? Destroy all their beasts, all their animals, all the men, all the military. I want you to destroy everybody. I want you to kill the king. I want them all out of here because I don't want that threat to continue to be there, to be a thorn in your side. So you destroy all of them. As Saul went and they were involved in that battle, he started thinking. Big mistake when we start thinking. He started thinking, well, if I keep that king back, maybe I can work a little deal with him to where I can get a little bit of gain. I can help him out a little bit. He can help me out a little bit. He has influences where I don't have influences. So maybe it could benefit us both. And the people started talking, man, I want you to look over here. Have you seen all this cattle over here? That's some good-looking cows over there. This one's just kill all them? I mean, why don't we keep some of them back? Hey, we could use them for offerings. We could use them for sacrifices. Let's do all this kind of thought. Now, if we look at it from natural eyes, we can say it wasn't necessarily a bad idea. It's not a bad idea to think if we can help Israel out by gaining influences with the king of the Amalekites, if we can help out the offering and the sacrifice issues by saving some of these beautiful choice prime animals, then what is really wrong with that? It's not that earthly wisdom is all the time a bad idea. It's just that it's the wrong idea. God could have very easily have said this. You go into battle against the Amalekites, save the king, save the animals, because I have purpose for them. But what makes earthly wisdom fail is because it 99% of the time opposes God's wisdom. It's not that it's bad, but it's wrong when God leads otherwise. Wow, when I think about man's wisdom and I think about all the times that I have made decisions based on what I thought, the more we read, the more we study, the more intelligent that we think we are is very dangerous for us at times, because we will assume that we know what right is. And we will choose before we even consider God's input. How many times have you made a decision in life without considering God's direction? Plenty. Plenty of times. The king of Judah joined with Ahab and he said, will you go with me to battle Ramoth-Gilead so I can take my land back? Will you jump in with me? And he said, well, yeah, let's go. Sounds like a great idea. Man's wisdom. It's not a bad idea. Yeah, let's go into battle and let's do it. Let's get that land back. Let's encourage each other. We'll build our alliance. Let's build Israel up. Let's build the northern kingdom of Israel. Let's build the southern kingdom of Judah. Let's build strength together. It's not a bad idea. What was the problem? It was just the wrong idea, because it wasn't God's wisdom, but it was man's wisdom. Ahab had personal gain. Jehoshaphat decided, well, I'm just going to join alliance with him because I just feel like it's a good thing to do. But wait, he said, before we go full force, before I actually sign up on the dotted line, I've already kind of committed myself, but let's seek counsel of, do you have a prophet here? Yeah, bring that Micah guy up here. I don't like him, Ahab said, but bring him up here anyway. He came up and he prophesied. Bad idea, not God's idea. You're going to die, Ahab, in this battle. So Jehoshaphat heard the words. He had already sort of committed himself to this alliance and this commitment with Ahab. And he had a chance. He had a beautiful chance to turn from man's wisdom and join and form an alliance with God's wisdom. But did he? No, he refused to. Thousands of men died because of his choice to follow man's wisdom. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have a prayer life, you better get one. We don't know wisdom unless we're praying to God and asking for it. What did he say? If you lack wisdom, what did he tell us to do? Ask for it, and God will give it liberally. He will pour it out on us. We got to have wisdom because I am not smart enough. Just because I'm a big boy now, and I've been through a lot of things. I've been through a lot of experiences, and I think I'm grown up. You know, I've got a wife, and I've got kids. I've got a grandbaby. Well, I'm surely old enough and been through enough and read enough books, so I'm kind of wise now. No, don't fool yourself into thinking you're wise. We're not. It's okay to know stuff. It's okay to understand things. It's okay to know how things work. That's good. But what we must do is lean now toward godly wisdom and let God choose and select and place us where we need to be so that all of these things that we do know he can use for his benefit, for his glory, that we can lift him up and we can be a blessing to somebody else. It's not bad to know a lot of stuff. We just got to make sure that the stuff we do is in alliance with God and not in alliance with this world. Verse number 17, the first part says, but the wisdom that is from above is. Well, we're already seeing that this godly wisdom he's talking about is something that comes from above. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship, where we plan to be, is above. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He's saying, let your treasure be up in heaven as well. Let it be placed above. John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we are born spiritually from above. You see where I'm going with this? John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Our home is above as well. Everything in relation to God and to God's wisdom, all that God provides for us, all the connection is from above. So that's also where our wisdom comes from. 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So Jesus is letting us know he is the wisdom of, he is wisdom. Jesus himself is wisdom. So if we want to understand real wisdom, if we want to be wise, then we've got to have wise counsel. We've got to not only just know the speed limit sign is there, but we've got to understand why it's there and what is the benefit from it. How does it help me in my life, and how can it benefit me to help someone else in their life? Godly wisdom is what we should strive for. Godly wisdom is what we need to consider in our lives. One thing about godly wisdom is this. Most of the time, it never makes sense going in. I don't know how many times that God has directed in life, and it never makes sense going in. That's the problem. See, that's the contradiction between godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom makes sense. Why does earthly wisdom make sense? Because we've seen it work, haven't you? You've seen something. Okay, if I put this over here, then this is going to happen. Well, we put it there, and this over here happened. We've seen earthly wisdom happen. We've seen naturally how things happen. So we have confidence in that. What happens in godly wisdom is God will come in here and say, no, instead of you putting it right here, I want you to put it way over here, and then this over here is going to happen. Well, wait a minute, God, you're throwing me off. You're going completely against what I think naturally to be true, what I've already built natural confidence in decisions, and how I've seen experiences. Thing about God is completely outside of the book. He's his own thinker. God has multiple things that he wants to be gained by following godly wisdom. He don't want you and I to be so conditioned to man's wisdom and earthly wisdom that we completely forget about faith and understanding the importance of exercising faith in Jesus Christ. So that's why earthly wisdom and godly wisdom are two completely different things. Godly wisdom will force us to put our confidence in God, even if it seems naturally to be wrong. Why does God do us that? Why does he do you that way? Why does he lead you to do something that goes against the grain of everything you think? Why does he do that to us? Because he's forcing us to put our faith in him and not in what we know naturally to be true, what we think naturally should happen. He wants us to have all faith in him. David, when he was a lad against Goliath, he had the sling, killed the bear, killed the lion, went up against Goliath, put on the armor of King Saul, and he said, it don't fit, I can't wear it. Why? Saul said, because it's never been proven. I can't trust in this. I've got to trust in what I know that's been proven. Now, earthly wisdom would tell you this. Goliath is big. Put on everything you can when you go down there. He is big. Take whatever you want to take with you. Put on the armor because he's big. Earthly wisdom tells us to make all these preparations for the battle that we're fixing to be in. David said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God's wisdom. I know that God has never failed me. And I can't trust this armor. So David went down with a sling, and well, we know the story, don't we? God's wisdom will tell us to trust him. Earthly wisdom will tell us to trust everything else. And that's the difference between godly and earthly wisdom. Godly wisdom is going to get you outside of your comfort zone. Yes, it will. It will get you and lead you to do things that you're maybe not really 100% comfortable with. But the beauty about God is this. Within that godly wisdom, he will give us the confidence, he'll give us the evidence, the proof, so that we know what God's telling us to do is right. God said, march around Jericho one time a day, 7 days, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to blow the trumpets and it's all coming down. So we know the story. Here's what earthly wisdom will do. Wait till everybody's asleep. Scale the walls. Go in there. Tiptoe in. Kill everybody you can. Come back out, and hopefully we'll have a chance at victory here. We're going to do everything we can to use what little resources we have to win this battle. What did godly wisdom say? No, get out in the middle of the day and just hoop and holler and walk around the... Have a parade around the city every day for 7 days. When we look at godly wisdom, we say, that's nuts. That's crazy. We're walking around. We're targets. Might as well just paint a big bullseye on their shirts because we're walking around and we're targets. But you see, God knew something that the people didn't know. God said, I have wisdom that you don't even understand. But I'm telling you, if you'll do this. They got the victory because the walls came down, the city was destroyed. When Peter had fished all night, what did Jesus say? I know you fished all night. When is the natural time to catch fish? When it's cooler and the fish get closer to the top of the water, they're easier to net. In the middle of the hot day when Jesus was preaching, where are the fish going to go? They're going to go deeper where it's cooler, a little more dormant. They're not going to be up here jumping in nets. Peter in his mind knew naturally that this is not a good time to catch fish. But Jesus said, launch out into the deep and I'm going to give you a great catch. That's, my friends, the difference between natural wisdom and godly wisdom. Godly wisdom sometimes doesn't make sense, but it is always right. Earthly wisdom seems to make sense, but it is never right. Look at verse number 14. of James chapter 3. But if you have bitter envy, strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. These, my friends, are the fruits of man's wisdom. Envy means basically jealousy. Strife means a desire to put yourself and thrust yourself forward. Glory is glory or boasting in yourself. And he said, lie not, which means don't be deceitful. So when we think about the fruit of what man's wisdom is going to give us, these are all the here's all the elements of what you're going to gain from following man's wisdom. You're going to be envious. You're going to be deceitful. These things are going to come out of you because they can't help it. It's kind of like if you put in all the ingredients to make a good batch of brownies and you mix it up and put it in the oven, and when you open the oven, what do you expect to find? Ah, brownies. If we're following man's wisdom and we're following our own leadership and we're opposing true, godly, inspired wisdom, then he is plainly telling us, you're going to be envious. There's going to be strife. There's going to be all this deceitfulness, and you're going to desire for yourself to have gain above and boast above everybody else. But I'm not that kind of person. Oh, but you will be, because it can't help but come out. What goes in is going to come out. So when we find ourselves following this leadership, that's exactly who we become. I'm going to venture that Korah may not have been such a bad guy, but because he started thinking in his mind, well, that Moses guy, he's got a lot going on. There's just one of him. Maybe he needs some help. Maybe it started with a good thought. Maybe he considered, well, what if we could help Moses out a little bit and take some of the heat off, some of the pressure off? God's plan was for Moses to be the leader of the people, not Moses and Korah. Moses. Korah got some guys together and said, hey, I think we need to go up and help Moses out. They talked to him. Hey, I think you take too much on yourself, they said to Moses. Why don't you give us some of those duties and take some of the responsibility off of yourself? Basically, it got to the point where he was envious of the position of Moses. He wanted self-gain and to boast. And you know what he ended up desiring? Even if it started with a good thought, because it was man's wisdom and not God's, he wanted to be lifted above everybody else. He wanted to have a seat with the leaders, and he wanted folks to respect him and come to him and seek his opinion. If we're seeking man's wisdom, my friends, it is always going to fail, and it is always going to have these results wrapped around it. Verse number 13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. In verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy. I want to share with you a description of what these words mean. Meekness, we all understand to be great power under complete control. Pure means true and sure. Peaceful means that you literally bring peace with you. Isn't that beautiful? To be peaceful. A fruit of godly wisdom means you are going to bring peace with you as you go to follow the Lord. Gentle means to be fair and patient. Easy to entreat means you're somebody that is easy to work with. You're someone easy to talk to. You got those people in your life where you say, man, I just enjoy being around them because they're so easy to talk to. They're easy to work with. I hate to be with that guy over there. He is a handful to work with. I love this guy to work with. He is so easygoing. It's not that he's a pushover, he's naive. It's just that he is someone that is easy to communicate with, and he is someone that can truly understand everybody. What is it that Paul became in his ministry? He said, I want to become all things to all people so that I might save some. That's what he's talking about. It's a fruit of following godly wisdom. Mercy, which is kindness and goodwill. Good fruits, he says. It literally means to produce Jesus. It means to demonstrate Jesus. And no partiality means you're not going to waver back and forth between godly wisdom, earthly wisdom. You're not going to waver back and forth on what's right and what's wrong. Someone who is following the wisdom of God is somebody who is going to be plugged in and dialed in. And the bulk of their life, they're going to give heed to the Spirit of God as He leads and guides. And there's not going to be any hypocrisy, which means there's not going to be a disguise, but yet it's going to be true and pure from your very heart. Nothing that you have designed to bring personal gain to yourself. It means the things that you do following godly wisdom is going to have a fruit of glorifying God and edifying those people that are around you. Zero desire to lift up self. Listen, let me tell you something. This Christian life that we live, if you're saved, is not about you. Amen. And it's not about me. It's about me glorifying the one that died for me. And it's about me living for him so others can see his good works and desire that same relationship for themselves. Wow. Being a Christian is not being a David. It's being Christ. Following godly wisdom. Following that Spirit as he speaks to us. As we read the Scriptures and it opens up to us and understanding the depth and the truth of it. As we embrace those things, we're going to see all of these fruits. You're going to be meek. You're going to be someone that folks love to be around. You're going to be encouraging to other people. And you are literally, as you walk, you're going to bring peace to those people around you. Wow, I want to just hand out peace out of my pockets, don't you? I want to give it out. Well, if we're following the Spirit of God, we can do that. You see, there's a choice that we have to make in our lives. I know it's ongoing. I know it's continual. I know you don't just make a choice today and it's fixed. But today can begin a great day for you and me. It can begin a great journey for us to say, today, I really understand that I know absolutely nothing about what is right. I don't care how old you are, how long you've even been saved. Understand we know nothing about what is truly right, but the only way we will is by listening to Jesus. I don't want to follow earthly wisdom. I don't want to go on, well, it kind of sounds good. It kind of feels good. Well, I think it's right. Well, let's give it a shot and see how it works. I don't want to live that way. I want to live a life that is glorifying of Jesus Christ. I want to live a life that follows godly wisdom. And it can start today for you. If you're here and you're lost, you know what's happening? You're in that struggle between earthly and godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is going to say, oh, there's a lot of people in here. I tell you what I'm going to do. Nothing wrong with this. I'll call the pastor later today. I'll call my buddy later today. I'll call somebody and meet with them up later today. I'll wait till even Wednesday night, some more casual. Or I'll talk to him this week. I'm going to put it off because I'm just not ready today. Or, man, I've got a deadline and this guy's preaching like no other. I'm never going to get out of here. I'll catch up with him later. Earthly wisdom would tell you that. Godly wisdom saying, you may not live to see tomorrow. You may not live to see this afternoon. Get her done now as the Spirit is leading you. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, earthly wisdom is going to tell you all kind of reasons to put it off and wait. Godly wisdom may be speaking to you right now and telling you today is the day and the now is the moment for you to get saved. If you're a Christian, same thing applies for you as far as obedience. You might think, well, I know the Bible. I've studied the Bible a lot. Hey, you don't think Paul knew everything there was to know about the law? Yet he still had the coats of men that murdered Stephen, a follower of Jesus. You want to think yourself wise? Wow. Rethink that. And understand there's only one wise among us, and it is Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be wise, we'd be wise to listen to the Spirit of God. My prayer is that you listen to Jesus today.
We would like to thank you for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, please visit rcbc.us, and God bless you.